All right. Well, how y'all doing out there? Happy Sunday. Thank you to all of you who got the memos, wearing your jerseys, wearing your team colors with pride out there. It's good. I don't see, is there any Eagles? Oh, there's one Eagles jersey in the house. Oh, there's a few, yeah, out there. Oh, there they are. You're covering it up. I know, I'd be embarrassed too. Somebody was harassing me about wearing a Colts jersey. I said, part of the Christian life is to accept misery. All right. Well, we got something special for you this morning. How special we are. We're going to get into the message in just a minute, but before we do that, we thought it was a appropriate timing. We're going to receive Glenn and Christy McCartney as members this morning. You guys come on up. So we were going to do this a few weeks ago, and then sickness rolled through the house, and so we pushed it off. But I think it's a great time to do it this morning. As we're talking about the vision of the next 5 years of the church, you know, really this kind of, you know, folks who make this decision that say, you know what, I've been on this journey from becoming a, really what we're talking about today, you know, being a spectator to getting in the game, saying, oh, I want to be a part of the mission and vision, and I want to contribute, and I want to let God use me for his purposes. That's what we're talking about today. So what better way to celebrate that than to have two folks tell us why they're doing it and then receive them as members, right? And so I don't want to belabor the part of membership. We're actually going to talk about that as part of the message. So everybody say good morning, Glenn, Chrissy. That's Glenn, that's Chrissy. Right? All right, good to have you. So why don't you guys, if you could, in 30 seconds or less, just tell us why you want to become a member of the church. Why now? And go ahead.
I first of all want to apologize for my voice. I am not contagious, just have bronchial asthma. That's what they're assuming. But I first came to the church, or before coming to the church, I was unsure about it. My husband actually told me about it. I came in, and you can actually feel Galatians 5:22 with the Lord's, the love and everything. And we had got married, and I said, I would love to be part of the church, not just come, but also help out with it, you know, bringing more people to the Lord, like I was blessed to be able to do.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Chrissy.
So I know I came about, it was like in 2018, I was going through a really rough time. And Pastor Cliff kind of took me aside, prayed with me, and I lost God at that time. But when I walked in, and I knew this was my church home immediately, and when he did that, and I just felt it was my calling. And then I got her and her parents to come, and it was just, God was just running the whole family and blessing over us. And I just want to serve him in any way that I can and bring more people into the church and with the Lord. With the Lord's help.
Amen. Awesome.
Thank you.
That's what it's all about, gang. All right. And anytime somebody makes that decision that says, because this is a journey, you know, maturity is a journey. We'll talk about that today. But anytime somebody makes that decision and says, no, this is where I want to be and I want to contribute, then we talk about it. We celebrate it. So make sure you love on these guys afterwards and welcome to the family of God. All right. What we're going to do now is Jenny and I are going to lay hands on them. All right. The Apostle Paul says, don't lay hands on. In other words, don't commission or anoint someone too suddenly, lest you incur their sin or they, you know, you lead somebody into fall. He says, but let them first be tested. And you guys have been tested. You've been coming for, how long have you been coming now? I mean, 2018. Okay, so
years.
A couple years, you know, it's a journey, right? And so now you're kind of like, okay, I've been here long enough, I think it's time, right? But that's, you know, and so now we're going to lay hands on them to, you know, stir up the anointing of the Holy Spirit within them, that he would now lead them into that next step of where God has called them to serve in the church, because our mission is, right, to help today's generation come to know, love, and serve Jesus. That's the third part of it. So we're going to see what the Lord says, and oftentimes he has a word specifically for you. So just extend your hearts and your hands this way as we pray your blessing over Glenn and Chrissy, all right? Mm-hmm. Glenn, we lay our hands on you in the name of Jesus Christ. We receive you as a precious part of the body of Christ. Holy Spirit, stir within him. Glenn, be filled to the fullness with the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit, bring to light the gifts and the calling that you've placed on Glenn, that you had in design for his life before he took one breath. Glenn, I believe the Lord says to you that you are unique, you are special, you are his beloved son, in whom he is well pleased. that he has seen your trials, he has seen your journeys, he's seen your wanderings. But in all of them, the Lord says, I've been present, I've been near you, I've been with you. As you have turned to me, the Lord says, as you've looked to me and put your trust in me, I've given you vision, given you clarity, and given you peace. The Lord says, so I will continue to do so as you trust me in these next steps. Receive it in Jesus' name, Glenn. Amen. Chrissy, we lay our hands on you in the name of Jesus Christ. Receive as a precious part of the body of Christ, a representative not only of Blue Mountain Community Church, but of Jesus to the local community and to the world at large. Holy Spirit, stir afresh the gifts you've placed within Chrissy, the things that she's been created for, works intended long ago that she might walk in them now. Receive it now, Chrissy. Chrissy, I just see a vision of you as a flower in a field. And it can be easy to say, well, all the flowers are the same, but each one is unique in its own way, and that you're just a flower among flowers. The Lord has planted you in this time, in this season, in this place, right where you need to be for you to bloom. Let your roots grow deep. Soak up all that he has. Soak up the light of his sun. You will grow tall and bloom beautifully.
Thank you, Lord.
Receive it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Love you guys.
All right. Love you guys.
Here's
all
your...
Right.
All right. Well, yay. Congratulations. It's always a blessing to receive new members to the body of Christ. So last week, we talked about the victories from our church management team retreat and over the last 5 years. And after challenging our congregation at the end of the service last week, we said, you know, are you ready to get in the game? Are you ready to, you know, are you ready to continue on with the adventure? We didn't say get in the game, but that was kind of where it led to. But
it was implied.
We thought it would be great to follow up with, how do I get in the game now? What do I do? Like, yeah, I'm excited, but now what do I do, right? So when God gave me the title, Get in the Game, for this week, I knew it was from the Holy Spirit, because I don't even really like sports, right? Super Bowls are just the Super Bowls filled with all my favorite food. That's I like to watch the commercials and eat during the game, right? Woo! Oh, yeah, I got sisters out there. Okay, but today we want to share the vision for what we believe God is calling us to do as a church in the next 5 years. And we encourage you, you know, make goals for yourself too, personal goals too, but we're making goals, you know, for the church. And we want to be united, excited, and ignited to move forward and go into the mission that God has called us to. God is calling each and every one of us, each and every one of you, to get in the game as he builds his church.
Right. So as we're talking about getting in the game, I mean, kind of like, that's another way of saying the philosophy of Blue Mountain Community Church forever, get on the God train. I'm looking at Rick and Nancy over there, right? Get on, find out what God's doing and get on board with that, and that will lead you to not only growth and accomplishing goals, but that's what leads to victory and the abundant life. How many of you want the abundant life?
Amen.
Okay, I'm pretty sure that's why you're here, right? Okay, well, you know, and God's the only one who can do that, so how do we do that? So rather than trying to make him fit into our schedule and what we want to do, we say, God, what do you want to do? And I'll let me get on board with that. So get on the God train, get in the game. You know, we want to, and that's this whole process of moving from this spectator that looks and says, well, that's really nice, you know, and I have some enjoyment or fulfillment from that, but to actually be a part of it and get in it and be a part of something that moves towards God's ultimate goals of, well, which I'm preaching before I preach, of reaching the lost and building the saints. So that's really what we're driving at here. We're encouraging you today. We're going to challenge you. There's no question of that. But you know, our experience of God really can be kind of dull, especially if we're at that point of we're just observing. You know, and listen, it's not judgment, because this is all a journey, and we all come to him at different places, and we come to him in steps and bit by bit. But I mean, how many of you have ever? Okay, I learned this about hockey. Anybody out there? Hockey fans out there? Okay, all right. Ooh, Steve's got all excited. All right.
Yeah.
All right. And I was never a big fan of hockey until, right, this is the truth, right? Go see a game in person. How many, you go see a game in person, all of a sudden you go, oh, man, this is a lot more exciting than it was watching it on TV. All right? Golf? Who watches golf? Susan? Jeff?
Jeff.
Right. Right. If you want entertainment, come watch me play golf. All right, but that's comedy. That's on the Comedy Network. But there's something different about being there. Any sports venue, you can watch your team on TV and be like, eh, that's cool. But when you go and you actually sit there, right, man, there is something that gets a little excited. There's just something about, especially in the playoffs, you know, I love playoff games. There's nothing like being in the stand in a stadium in a playoff. The excitement, you know, the roar, the crowd is getting excited, like, yeah, that's awesome. Now imagine that. Imagine you had the best seat of, you're not just in the stadium, but you're actually on the sidelines. Well, now you're really close to the action. You get a little more excited, aren't you? How about if you're actually on the field being part of it? You know, that's what we want, and that's what God's calling you to do. God's saying, look, you know, you're experiencing me. Okay, oh, yeah, that's, you know, I follow my route for my team. They're good, but, you know, I just turn it off when it's, and I turn it on when it's convenient. Or are you in the game? Are you going to be a part of it? You know, God's calling you to get in the game, be in the on the field with him, and experience the abundant life. So that's what we're encouraging you today, all right? So why is it important to get in the game?
Yep.
All that, that's all the setup. Prologue. We're going to read Ephesians chapter 4. This is why God has set up the church the way he did. So we're going to read Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 11. Can you read this? Can you see that nice and clear? Balcony crew? You guys good up there? The old guy up there, I'm looking at you, Derek. Can you read that okay? All right, good. Here we go. Ephesians chapter 4. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of, what's that word again?
Service.
For the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. And so the Apostle Paul lays out why God has put the church together, what the purpose of the church is. And so there is a twofold purpose for why we have church, whether it's on a Sunday or any other service we do. The church exists for two reasons. Number one, introduce the unbeliever to Jesus. That's mission priority number one. That's why our mission is help today's generation come to know Jesus. That's the first thing. We want to introduce you to Jesus, right? Let me tell you about my Jesus. That's priority number one. Jesus said in Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. If we make church about anything else other than reaching the lost as our priority, we're off track. Priority number two, then, is what Paul just said here, is to equip, then, the believer to fulfill the ministry or the service to which God has called them. So the church exists to reach the unbeliever with the good news and then equip the believer to do what God has called you to do. God wants you to grow up. Everybody say that. God wants me to grow up. Okay, you can say it like you mean it. God wants me to grow up. Maybe it's easier to look at the person next to you and tell, God wants you to grow up. All right? That's what Paul just said here. All, as a result, we are to grow up in all aspects. All right? Now, why is that? How does that happen? Okay? It happens by applying what you learn from God. That's maturity. Maturity begins with knowing him. Okay, maturity begins by saying, okay, there is something greater in this world than myself, and that is God, and that is his plans for me through his son, Jesus Christ. That's maturity. It's submitting to him. God, I need you. That's where maturity begins. But it doesn't end there. It doesn't end with knowledge. Maturity grows. How many of you want to mature? All right. You don't want to be, what does Paul say? We don't want to be like kids. We want to be mature. We want to make wise decisions. We want to make smart decisions. We want to do things that are going to make our world a better place, not a worse place. Maturity grows by staying in unity with God and with his people. See, we can say, okay, I watch from TV. I'm good, but nah, I don't like it. Now I'm turning it off. Oh, no, I'm committed. I'm in this, and I'm going to stay in unity, even if that challenges what I think or how I believe. And the only way we test that is by being around other people. Let me give you an example, right? Okay? How many of you have ever prayed, I just want to be a more patient person? How many of you have ever prayed that? Oh, and all the groans out there, because you know how God answers that prayer. You know, I love saying this. God does not, you know, God, make me more patient. God is not like Neo in the Matrix. Let's upload file patience. Zip, wow. You know, I know Kung Fu. No, I know patience. No, God gives you what? Opportunities to be patient. And how do you? How does that happen? Through people who cause you to need to be patient. Help me to be more loving. Well, guess what? How do you learn to be more loving? By God giving you difficult people to love. Maybe I don't want to pray that prayer anymore. That's maturity. That's how we grow up. That's how our love expands. That's how we grow in love, by having difficult people. Now, not everyone has to be difficult. Some, but you will face challenges, whether they're internal, like Jenny did yesterday, you know? And guess what? There was a challenge on my end, too, in that instance. Because, you know, oh, what are you doing? Oh, you're making a mess. And I can't even see. I'm trying to work on a message here. Right? Which is what was happening at the time. But, you know, there's an opportunity. And there was a time where I would have been that way. It's all about me. Oh, I understand. But love grows. And so I'm maturing, thankfully. But thanks be to God. And so I said, okay, hey, it's okay. Don't worry. I got this. We'll clean it up. You'll be okay. Right? All right. So maturity begins with knowing Jesus, but grows by staying in unity with him. Because we move from the classroom to the application. You move from studying the playbook to actually running the plays and going, how does this actually work? Oh, hey, that doesn't work so well. Oh, here's how we can adjust it. Here's how we learn and how we grow.
Yeah. To be excited, we have to be united. You have to be on a team, right? That's what this morning I said, if you missed the opening. I said, good morning, team. I usually say, good morning, church, right? Good morning, team. We're all on a team together. We have to be united to be excited. And unity is not conformity. It doesn't mean that we're just a whole bunch of cookie-cutter Christians, cookie-cutter, you know, people that walk around and we all agree on everything and we're all exactly the same, right? That would not be fun. That would not make church fun. But we all bring a unique contribution to the body of Christ and to the team to serve a common vision. We're all going to that same goal. We all want to go that way, right? We're all going to that same goal. So as a church, again, we are a team. So I want you to turn to somebody and say, you're on my team. Now I want you to say, and I'm on your team. And I'm on your team, right? To maintain unity, we have to remember who our opponent is. Turn to somebody and say, you're not my opponent. We have to remember that our struggle is not with people. It's against the enemy trying to keep us from maturity and walking with Jesus, right? The enemy presses in. You know, we're on the same team. And Paul says in Philippians 3:14, toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Satan does not want us to win as a church. He wants to divide and conquer, right? And he wants to tear apart relationships. He wants to use one another. I just can't be in that person's presence anymore. I just can't be with that person anymore. That's a wrong attitude. We've got to work through those things. Satan doesn't want us to win. And as a team, as a church, we value each other. We love each other authentically. We respect each other's gifts. We don't talk about each other behind their backs. That is actually one of the very first things on our membership covenant. It says, I will refuse to gossip. I will refuse to talk about someone else behind their back in a negative way that makes someone else think less of that person. That's a big one. Maybe some of us need to cut our words in half when you think about what we're talking about, right? We are on each other's teams. We respect each other's gifts. We go to each other when we have a problem. We go to each other, not somebody else. We talk to each other. Hey, did you mean this when you said that? I was hurt by that, and I don't know if, I'm sure you didn't mean to hurt me, but this was how I felt. And that person, oh, I'm so sorry. No, that's not what I meant at all. But sometimes, something that you're thinking about over and over and over again could have been fixed immediately with one simple conversation. Done. But Satan will let it, oh, that person doesn't like you, and you should just quit, and you should just walk away, and you should do this, and you shouldn't go to the church anymore, and nobody will notice anyway. That's all lies from the enemy. Get back in the game. Get to church. Get on the field, right? Don't let Satan steal you from the body of Christ, because you bring something amazing. We support each other. We don't compare ourselves or our gifts to other ministries. I know I'm always looking for somebody that does something better than I do, or someone that can do something I can't do. I love that, because that makes a great team, right? We always want to be looking, you know, outside of ourselves. So you being on the team, you bring something special that God designed you to bring, and your teammates bring what God designed them to bring. Men for their
Amen.
Purpose.
Amen. So, I mean, we're absolutely talking about, you know, the real challenges to staying in unity with God and with each other. It is Super Bowl Sunday, and so we wanted to look at three characteristics of a winning team. We're going to apply, you know, this is what winning teams do, and how that translates to what we want to do, because we all want to win, right? We want to win as a church. We want to succeed. We want to see God win. Yeah? This is how we get there, right? Characteristic number one is what we've been talking about, unity of purpose. All right, winning teams keep their focus on the goal, not on each other. Now, you know, every sports season, especially in our social media age, right? Come on now, you've seen some sports athlete go out there, take to Twitter to do what? Blast the quarterback, blast the coach, blast the other player, play calling, you know. You know who does that? Losing teams do that. That's right. Losers point shift blame. You know, okay, so it's Super Bowl week, Chiefs, Eagles. How many Eagles players, how many Chiefs players took to Twitter this week to complain about their teammates? None. Right. What are they doing? They ask him, hey, what, you know, how come you're so great, Jalen Hurts? What does he say? No, I'm just one guy. Let me tell you about the other guys on my team who helped me get there, right? We win as a team, right? That's what a winning team does. A winning team, you know, now, does that mean that they never have problems? Of course not. They all do. We're human. It's how they respond to it, right? Hey, we're not going to air our stuff publicly. You know, we got a personality issue. We have a miscommunication. We're going to go. We're going to work it out. We're going to work it out, you know, amongst ourselves. We're not going to put it out there for the media and let people. No, we're going to work it out, because what's the greater goal? Winning. And we recognize that if I just threw shade at one of my fellow players, and now I have to go out and work as a team, how effective is that going to be? Not at all. So what, you know, winning teams maintain unity purpose. They keep their eyes fixed on the goal. As a church, our goal is to reach the lost, reach the unbeliever with the good news, and equip the believer for the works of service. That's what we maintain on. That's what we work on. So anytime something comes up, hey, what's the goal? All right, let's bring it back to that, and that determines then our approach to how we're gonna overcome those obstacles.
Winning team, First
right.
Corinthians,
yep,
well.
Yep, right. So again, you know, what do you see a lot of this week? You know, and I always appreciate about winning teams. You know, I couldn't do it without this guy, or you know, the head coach and all this stuff. 1 Corinthians 12:26, Paul says, "This is how the body of Christ should operate. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." That's how it works. All right, so we look for opportunities to encourage, to support, to uphold, to build up each other. All right? Yep, go ahead.
And the way we stay united and excited is keeping our eyes on the why. We talked about last week that your why matters, the reason that you're doing what you're doing, the reason you're serving in church. And I gave the illustration of the story of the three bricklayers, where the first bricklayer was asked, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Laying bricks." And the second bricklayer was asked, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm building a wall." And the third person was asked, "Hey, what are you doing?" And he said, "I'm building a great cathedral where many, many people will come and they will be transformed." And I think so often on a team, we're thinking like this. We kind of have those, you know, this is what I'm doing right here in this moment. I'm laying bricks. I'm laying bricks. I'm laying bricks. And then the next guy, "I'm building a wall. I'm building a wall. I'm building a wall." Right? But the next person, "I'm building a cathedral. I'm building a cathedral," right? So there's three attitudes that we can have when it comes to, what are you doing? I babysit the kids Sunday so their parents can go to church. Or is it, well, I teach Sunday school. I teach kids lessons about Jesus. Or is it, I'm investing in the next generation so they can carry the church to the next generation and the next generation. Where is our attitude? Because if you can look at the investment that you are making in the children, you're going to be like, wow, this is amazing. My Sunday school teacher prayed, I don't know if I said that last week, but my Sunday school at 3 years old, Ruby Schnell, looked at me and said, did you ever ask Jesus in your heart? And I said, no. And she said, Jenny, would you like to ask Jesus in your heart? And I said, yes. I know that was my yes moment. At 3 years old, she probably thought, oh, she won't even remember this moment. But I remember. My teacher was bold enough to ask. So teachers, thank you. Thank you for teaching our children. Thank you for investing in the next generation. So this church can move up and move on. So your why and your who I do this for, Jesus, right, will determine your what and where and how you get that done, how you're going to serve. So did you ever stop to ask yourself why you do the things you do? Did you ever self-evaluate a little bit? Like, why do I prefer to shower in the morning? Why do I prefer to shower at night? Why do I eat the same thing for breakfast every day? What habits have you developed that may be causing you to stay in a rut or a habit rather than be free to do something different? You know, there is habit and there is purpose. Sometimes there are purposes in our habits. We've consciously said, this is a habit I'm creating because there is purpose in it. But coming back and evaluating, you know, why do I do what I do? And those things that we just do mindlessly that may be actually hurting us, right? Do we live life out of habit and without direction? Or do we live it on purpose with purpose? Did you form new habits during the quarantine that you still do simply out of habit? Like not going to church or not having people in your home or deciding you're not going to go to parties anymore. Have you made changes to your weight goals or your financial goals and you haven't really reevaluated that in a while? And in fact, you haven't even stepped on the scale because you're afraid what it's going to say, right? Did you give up something and let go of something that you really need to get back to? Or does God want to do something completely different? Maybe you've been working the same job for years or serving in the same ministry for years and you're really not sure why. When's the last time you evaluated your ministry and your job and why you use your time the way you use it? How do you use your time? Is it with healthy things? Is it with unhealthy things? Are you wasting a lot of time? I encourage you to write down what you're doing with your time. Just like you'd count calories, write down what you're doing with your time. And just see where it's spent. See where your money's going. Because pretty much where our money goes, that's what we value, right? Think about, do I like my job? Do I love my job? Why do I do it? Is it my passion? Or is it just a habit or an obligation? Is it truly my way of serving and what God's called me to? What has God called you to do? What has God designed you to do? Could you talk about that thing all night and just be so excited about what God's doing? Have you ever really stopped to think, why did God make me? Why did he choose me for the team, right? What did he design me for? Am I serving a greater purpose in him? So think about yourself. Are you living by mindless, meaningless habits or living with disciplined purpose? Is your relationship with God and others something that you just do? Or is it done with meaning? Do you purposefully spend quality time with God? Purposefully spend quality time with your family, with your friends, with your church people, right? Or, you know, do you get up in the morning and, all right, let me quick get my one chapter a day and close it and run, and you don't even remember what you read because you didn't focus on it, right? So ask the Lord to help you with that, because obligations don't fulfill. If you go to your job, I mean, obviously you have to work. Everybody has to work. And sometimes we have to have those jobs that we don't particularly love. But if you work at it with all your heart, Colossians 3:23, right, Nancy? We learned that verse, Colossians 3:23. Doing everything is unto the Lord. For it's the Lord Christ that we serve. It's Jesus that we serve. And if you can flip burgers at McDonald's or you can, you know, be a checkout, you know, check people out at the store, do that with Jesus in mind, you're going to have so much more joy in your job. So ask the Lord to help you with that.
Yep. All right. Characteristic number two, every player is important where you operate under the next man up principle. You know, you don't get to the Super Bowl on the strength of one stud player. Ask Tom Brady. Ask Aaron Rodgers. MVP quality. Where are they watching the Super Bowl this weekend? At home. Okay? It takes a great supporting cast. I love the critics about Tom Brady who said, well, you know, the key to beating Tom Brady, you just get in his face and you pressure him. No kidding. That's the key to beating any good quarterback. If you can pressure him, that means that he doesn't have a good supporting cast around him, right? That's why they've won wherever they've gone. Wherever Tom Brady went, he won. One, because he's excellent. Two, because they put a good cast around him and said, we're going to protect our quarterback and not put it all on him, all right? Okay, I watched this guy suffer for years, and he did a lot of really good things with a lousy offensive line. I always think, man, put him behind the Steelers' offensive front and see what Peyton Manning would have done back in those days. All right, so you can't get there on the strength of one person. And what does Tom say? They all recognize and say, look, I'm only as good as the guys protecting me or the guys who are running the other routes or what they're doing. Am I going to bring maybe raise the bar of excellence and call the people to it? Yeah, but I expect them to do the best they can for their ability. That's what makes a great team. That makes a winning team. All right, so. Every part is critical. I mean, San Francisco got to the conference championships on their third-string quarterback. Talk about next man up, right? Doesn't matter what's gone before me. I'm ready to step into that role. I'm ready to be used however I am needed. And on every given play, it's not just that he hikes the ball and he's looking for his number one receiver. There's other guys who are running blocks. There's the tight end who maybe stays in to pick up that key linebacker block. All right, if he doesn't make that block, guess what happens? Pancake City. See Andrew Luck. All right. And every Colts quarterback since then. All right. The guys who run, the receiver who runs the decoy route is as critical to the play as the guy who makes the touchdown, right? So every person has to contribute in their own way and be content to say, look, I'm part of this. Even if that means I don't get the spotlight, even if that means I don't actually touch the ball, I'm still a part of it. I'm committed to the greater goal, which is scoring, winning. So as a church, every part here is critical. One part's missing, that's what Paul says here. All right, in 1 Corinthians 12, he says, look, if one part's missing, then we're all hurting. We're not operating at peak capacity. In 1 Corinthians 12, let's read this. Paul says, now there are many members, but one body. And the eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary. Even great players can be limited by a weak support system. So we're just throwing this out there, and I don't think, I'm not saying that you do, all right? Because again, we've operated under this principle for a long time, and you're used to that. But maybe you're coming in for the first time, and you're used to a church where the pastor does everything. We ain't going to be those pastors. Either get used to disappointment or get in the game. Okay, because we can't. It's impossible. Look around. Look how many people are here. This is one service, right? So we need every person in there contributing and doing what God has called you to do, and do it to the best of your ability, and that's when he's glorified and other people are encouraged, right? Everyone contributes according to the best of their ability. It's not a comparison game. Jenny said that earlier. It's not a comparison game. We're not in competition with each other. It's not about, well, I can't sing like her, and I can't serve like him, and I can't be friendly like, okay? God can work in you, and you, again, that's maturity. You're allowing him to expand your borders, to draw you closer to him, to be more like him and less like you, and that allows you to serve with excellence wherever you are.
Amen. That's right. So in order for a team to win, we have to have the same desire and mission and vision to win. No team sets out to lose. You get up in the morning, I got a game today, I know we're going to lose. Well, yep, you are, right?
Talking to Glenn and Lori last week about playing for people who play for second place, right? It drives you nuts. Like, you're playing to lose.
they're yielding, right?
Yeah.
I was teasing. Glenn and Lori used to be our youth leaders when we were younger, and they're only a couple years older than we are, not much. But I told Lori and Glenn last week, kids used to show up just to have Glenn and Lori on opposite sides on volleyball, because they were great competitors, but great athletes too. But we don't set out to lose. Even if you are sitting on the sidelines, you are part of the team. This is your church. This is your house. And you should always be, if you can, get outside that comfort zone and say hello to somebody that you don't know. That's being part of the team. Introduce yourself to somebody you don't know. Ask them if they have any questions. And if you don't know the answer, say, I can direct you to somebody that knows the answer to that. But you are, if you are on the sidelines, quote, if you're not scheduled that day, okay, music ministry people, if you're not scheduled on the stage, you're still leading worship from your seat. You're worshiping, and you're showing people how to do it, right? If you're a greeter, that doesn't mean you're only friendly the second and fourth Sundays of the month. Yeah, this is my day off. I don't want to be friendly today, right? If you're an usher and you see that something needs to be done and the usher, you know, oh, I can get up and I can jump in and I can help, right? If you're on the security team and a perpetrator walks into the building, you're not going to hide under your chair. You're gonna get in the game, and I'm on security right now because this is happening. And, you know, I just want to encourage you that this church, you guys do step up. You do. This is just to encourage those of you who may have not had that opportunity to do that. But every Sunday morning, if I have to say that Yvonne needs help in Sunday school, someone gets up out of their chair and goes back and serves our kids. And I really want to, you know, we appreciate that.
So there's an opportunity for second service because we had a last-minute call-out. So
okay. So
we're looking for an adult helper for second service for the toddler room. So there's an opportunity for you.
Yeah.
You
know, awesome. God,
every opportunity, every hole is an opportunity for somebody to step into it.
That's right. Exactly. Last week, Judy asked for help for our advertising ministry, and three people came forward to help her, which was awesome. Cliff requested funds for our youth ministry, some sponsorships. We needed three sponsors. We got nine. So, I mean, that was a blessing. Yeah. But winning requires the whole team all the time. And if you're not maybe on that day, you're a cheerleader to those that are serving. And, you know, you're the one that's saying, oh, can I help you with anything? Can I do something? Just getting in the game, being part of the team. You know, each person ready to step up. All right.
Yeah, it's not a position. It's who you are. You know, so, mm-hmm. You know, are you a fan every day or just on Sunday? I mean, think about your sports teams. You know, and I you know, where's Alicia? I harass my sister-in-law. She's got her Dallas jersey on. I keep praying for her, you know. But her, my brother-in-law. But you know,
she offered for me to wear that one today. She was, but Cliff said I was forbidden.
It's one of the few things I have to put my foot down and say no. No. Carries a lot of Dallas fans out there. But anyway, Dallas fan. Name three starters on the Dallas Cowboys right now. Is Troy Aikman still playing? You know, like, you know, and I'm okay. But here's the thing, right? Again, are we on God's team on Sunday mornings or all week long? You know, are we really investing in it? Is it who we are, or is it something that we play? God's challenging us. Hey, come on, get in the game. Be with me all the time. You know, and here's the thing about players, right? If you're on the team, okay, you can't just operate at peak performance on one day out of the week. Because the rest of your week determines how well you're going to be. Again, Tom Brady, okay? I mean, there's a reason he's the GOAT, all right? And I can admit that. And I'm wearing a Peyton jersey. I can admit that, all right? Why? Because he's fanatical about his preparation, not just on Sunday, but what he eats Monday through Saturday so that he's ready to go on Sunday. It is a total commitment to the goal of winning and being the best he can be. And so do we take that approach with God? Hey, I'm gonna gear up for Sunday, and I'm gonna be my best. But I treated myself lousily and poorly, and didn't invest in my mental health, didn't invest in my spiritual health, didn't invest in anything. And I'm just gonna look for Sunday, and Sunday I'm gonna knock it out of the park. Not gonna happen. So, are you a fan every day or just on Sunday? Third characteristic of a winning team is you count the cost, you persevere, and this is probably the hardest one. This is where many people decide, I'm off. I'm done. I'm quitting the team. I'm getting off the train, right? And so I want to share this with you. This is real quick, all right? In Ruth chapter 4, Ruth is this little book in the Old Testament. It's a little historical book, but it's really a book of redemption. And it sets up the context for what's going to happen, but it's a illustration of God's redemption power. But in it, here's what happened, okay? So in the time of Israel, before there were kings, before they were ruled by the kings, God would appoint judges to rule and direct and guide the people towards his ways. And the people would do up and down. They obey God and they disobey. And up, you know, and then God would judge them. They'd repent and come back to him. This cycle goes on and on and on. During one of these cycles, there's a famine that hits the land, and a Jewish guy, a Hebrew, and his wife and two sons, they leave the promised land. They leave where God had called them to, and they go to a foreign land to seek relief because there's food there. And so they go there and they stay there, and his two sons marry women from that foreign nation while they're there. The father passes away. A few years later, both sons pass away. So it's the widow and her two daughters-in-law. And then she receives word, the famine in Israel is over. She's going to return to her homeland. She's going to return to her people. So she goes back to her home city, which is Bethlehem. And one of her daughters-in-law says, I will stay with you. I will leave my own family who is here, and I will stay with you. Her name's Ruth. And so she comes in back into, and she doesn't know the ways of what it means to be a Hebrew. She doesn't know God, but she says, I'm willing, wherever you go, your God will be my God. That's where she goes. And she goes, and as part of Jewish law and custom, she's able to go and work in the fields, picking up the grain and the corn that got left behind by the harvesters. She's picking up scraps. And that gets to the attention of her kinsman, an extended family member who had the right to take ownership of their estate. And that's what happens. So this guy named Boaz says, I can redeem you. But he says, there is somebody who has the right ahead of me. There's a closer kinsman. And so we have to defer to him first. And that's where we pick up the story in Ruth chapter 4. Then Boaz said to the closer relative, Naomi, who has come back from the land of Moab, has to sell the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. So I sought to inform you, saying, buy it before those who are sitting here, before the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if not, tell me that I may know. For there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am after you. And he said, I'll redeem it. He looks at it, he goes, ooh, there's a piece of property there that's out there. I'll take that. I'll take ownership of that. I'll add to my inheritance. I'll add to my stature. I'll add to my wealth. Then Boaz said, on the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also acquire Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of the deceased, in order to raise up the name of the deceased on his inheritance. The closest relative said, I cannot redeem it for myself, because I would jeopardize my own inheritance. Redeem it for yourself. You may have my right of redemption, for I cannot redeem it. And this right here is where many, many people, this is how many people view the gospel of Jesus Christ, Christianity as a whole, and the church. It looks good from a distance. There is some attraction that says, ooh, I can go there and that'll be good for me. It's going to increase my stature. It's going to increase my self-esteem. I'm going to get some tangible benefit from it. And I'm liking that until they begin to realize what it's going to cost them. And then say, yeah, you know what? No thanks. I'm out. I'll pass. I'm afraid of what I might lose in this process. I'm afraid of how people are going to view me if I take on this responsibility or if I invest myself in these things. And so I'm out. At our CMT retreat, at one point, Jen and I both quoted Dave Ramsey, yeah. Trademark, patent pending, right? Yeah. I do love Dave. Dave talks about his Financial Peace University, how to manage your money and live according to godly principles and all those things. But one of the things he says about investing, like, you know, your retirement, investing in IRAs and things like that, he says, you know, people look at it and like, oh, it's up and down. He goes, the only people who get hurt on a roller coaster are the ones who get off before the ride's over. Mm-hmm. Stay on it. It'll be okay. When you get to the end, you'll be all right. And when he said that, I heard him say it the other day, and I thought, you know, that's Christianity. That's what it means to be a Christian. It's a roller coaster. It's an adventure. It has climbs and drops. It has thrills and pit in your stomach kind of moments. The only people who get hurt are the ones who get off before the ride's over. Stay with it. Let God carry it to the end and see what he does for you.
It could be detrimental to a team if you're on the field playing and somebody just runs off the field and says, I quit. Right?
Yeah.
I'm done. I quit. Whoa. And now that person lost the trust of their team.
Yeah. And in here, you know, what am I going to lose? You know, like, well, I don't want to associate with those kind of people, people who have problems, because I don't have any problems. I'm afraid of personal cost, you know, or just, the, you know, we may not say it, but I like hanging on to unforgiveness. I like being bitter. I don't want to give that up. I don't want to have to give grace to other people, because that requires something of me. It requires an acknowledgement or a humility on my part. Right? I'm comfortable in my hurts and my habits and my hang-ups. I'm comfortable in those things. That's immaturity. That's selfish thinking. God calls us to maturity, thinking like less like we do and more like he does. And the only way that happens is getting around other people, right? So, yeah, he said, yep. What if a player quits in the middle of a game? I mean, how many of you remember Antonio Brown doing that last year? Middle of the game, took his jersey off. I quit. I'm out. And what did that do? You know? And what was the team's response? No place for you here. We can put up with all your behavioral stuff, all the things you do. You're imperfect. We can do that. But quitting on the team? Done. Right? The violation of trust was too great. All right. Why do we need other people? Because you don't know how effective your practice is going to be until you put it into real-world application. You can run practice and scrimmages all day long until you put it up against a real opponent and go, wow, that really worked, or that didn't really work so much. You don't know. Marshall Helmuth von Moltke.
I don't know Greek. No, just kidding.
Said, no plan of operations extends with any certainty beyond the first encounter with the main enemy forces. That has now been translated to say, no plan survives first contact with the enemy. You don't know how well it's going to work until you actually put it into practice, which has now since been reinterpreted by the great Mike Tyson. Everybody has plans until they get hit for the first time, which has now become everybody has a plan until they get hit in the face. You don't know. You don't really know. Again, we're talking about you're moving from being a spectator and going, well, in theory, this is how it should work, until you put it into real concrete application with another human being and go, oh, this is how it actually works. All right, now we go forward with that. All right, so you count the cost, you persevere through difficult things. There will be obstacles, but you keep your eyes on the prize, you keep your eyes on the goal, and say, nope, this is what we're moving towards, and so we adapt, adjust, and overcome. I was going to say that the fear of getting hit, that fear of getting hit is what keeps many people from getting in the game. I don't want conflict. I don't want opposition. I don't want that kind of thing. So I'm just not. It's just easier to sit back and do nothing, abdicate my responsibility. Like that other guy said, you can have my right of redemption. I give it to you. I don't want it. I don't want that responsibility. A lot of people wear the uniform, but they're posers on the sideline. They're not actually in part of the game. God is calling you to not be a poser for Him. To look good. Maybe you can say the right things and look good, but He wants you to actually get in the game.
That's right.
Paul says it's here. I mean, we're running short on time here, but 2 Timothy 4, Paul says to Timothy, I solemnly charge you, I urge you, I strongly encourage you, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great practice, patience, and instruction. For a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They, people in the church, will not endure sound doctrine. But one who had their ears tickled will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, and will turn away their ears from truth, and will turn aside to myths. Paul says you're gonna have a church full of posers out there. That's the warning. He says, but you. Everybody say, but you.
But you.
Or say, but me.
But me.
Be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of the evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. And that's what we're challenging today. You know, God has called and equipped each and every one of you for ministry. We're encouraging you, fulfill it. Step into it. See what God has for you.
Amen. Yep. Should we get to the visions?
Well, go ahead. Yeah. So do you have the courage to get off the sidelines and get into the game? That's what we're asking you today, right?
So what we have for you guys today, on your way out, if you want to ask an usher, they'll have some papers for you. There's a list of all the ministries of the church and the contact information, the contact email for the leaders. If you are interested in any of the ministries or you want to learn more about the ministries we have to offer, but you'll record the vision, inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run toward the goal, not away from it, right? So we're going to talk real quick about the vision and that we had at the church management team retreat. Visions propel us forward. Without vision, the people perish. So we want to march toward these goals. One of the main obstacles, or two of the main obstacles that we recognize that kind of go hand in hand in any church, especially when it's growing, but we're recognizing it in our church, is connection and communication. Because the more people you have to communicate with, the harder it is to communicate, right? And connecting new people to ministries and to the church and to small groups to get connected. Because Sunday morning, you walk by each other and it goes quick, right? You don't really have a chance sometimes to get into deep conversations with more than one or two people. So, you know, getting you guys connected with each other outside of church. And one thing you could do today is invite somebody to go to lunch with you, right? Go to lunch together. Just get to know each other that way. So we're going to share the visions back and forth real quick. Yep.
Yeah, so these are kind of like, look, you know, it's written in PowerPoint, not stone. Okay, yeah. So these are plays that we're putting in the playbook, and we're just saying, okay, Lord, these are the things that we believe, you know, the obstacles we believe to our growth. We identify connection and communication, two of the big ones. All right, what are some of the plays we can run to overcome those obstacles so that we can score the goal of reaching the lost with the good news and encouraging and equipping the saints for the work of service? So,
that's right.
So how about you just do the connections?
Yeah, so the ministry's networking, meaning all the ministries working together to do the big things. The small groups of 5 or 10 come in together and be in 100, right? Help struggling ministries that are struggling to launch or to continue moving. Equipping members to serve and minister, helping you lead people to Jesus. If somebody comes up to you and they don't know Jesus, that you could share that, equipping you to do that. Having excellent customer service, where instead of just saying the bathrooms are over there through that hallway, that you actually walk them to the bathroom and show them where to hang their coat in the coat room, that type of thing. And to grow a culture of service and restoration, just everyone serving somewhere and helping one another be restored to Jesus.
And under communication, we want to talk about, you know, effectively communicating our needs from ministry to ministry and into the greater congregation. We absolutely want to help the new believer, someone who says yes to the relationship with Jesus. We want to equip you, come alongside you, resource you, give you those immediate next steps. Where do I go from here? Because it's a journey.
We have a class today.
Right. Pastor Ted's got his class, second service today, so you can still sign up for that, I believe, right?
Yeah.
We had the annual leadership dinner. That was a greatly reviewed. We would love to see that continue again. So monthly or regular email to our leaders, just as a connection. Leaders being those who are not on the church management team but fall under those their leadership, just to stay connected and keep you informed what's going on. Leadership training. How do we be leaders? You know, there are things we don't know. You know, we're figuring this out as we go, so we want to help you come alongside and do those things.
And then connection, outreach, connect with other churches. I know there's some with a passion to do that, to bring all the churches together. We'd like to have a praise night at Penn's Peak, which I'm excited about because that's been my goal for a while. And this week, somebody offered to pay for that, to bless us to be able to pay for that. So I'm praying that we'll be able to do that. But wait, there's more. I'm excited. Every leader accepting the Holy Spirit, stretching of them to the next level of leadership. Just, you know, us not being afraid to say, I can learn something new. I can stretch to the next level.
Stay on the train. Leadership.
Yeah, stay on the train.
Don't get off at the next stop. Stay
That's
on the
right.
train.
And then a Christ-centered addiction counseling ministry. We have Celebrate Recovery and Reboot Recovery, which have been amazing. And then just helping people to be able to continue on their journey of being free.
To be a real resource for our community, recognizing that's one of the primary hurts in our community right now.
Yeah.
All right, and as far as communication, the advertising team would grow and be connected, that we would connect gaps and overlaps in ministries. You know, we kind of operate independently, but we want to help, you know, every squad, right, works together for the greater good.
I want to give an illustration of that real quick. Sometimes the overlaps, because maybe you say, well, I missed that memo, I didn't hear that, and we're trying to communicate with everybody because we overlap. Because think about the hand and the arm. Here's my hand, here's my arm. What cell, where is it the cell of the hand, and where is it the cell of the arm? Right? That's really hard to dissect, because when we are so... when we're flowing so well together, you don't even notice the difference, right? So we apologize if we miss giving you the memo, okay? So just try to stay connected to your leaders.
But we're working on it, yep.
Yep.
So connection team, we want to see continued growth. I mean, that's the desire of every ministry. They want to see it fully staffed, every service that we offer, that there would be no gaps. Of course, recognizing that gaps are opportunities for somebody else to step into that. There's always room for one more. We're never like, oh, they got everybody they need, so there's no place for me. No, that's not true. Next man up, always ready to go, always ready to serve somewhere. Our updated Connection Resource Center, check.
We got the plugs ready today. Did anybody notice a TV in the lobby? And thank you, Lloyd. And going down the hallway, there's a TV running the plugs of what's coming up. And there's more to come. So that was something we did in like 2 weeks. All right. Yep.
There you go. So everybody's going to be out there. Oh, there's a TV there now. Cool.
Yeah, go check it out. All right. All right, Connection. Add 10 small groups. That would allow 50% participation. We want to add those in the next year, within 5 years,
right.
Maybe in the next year. Caring Friends. We need an overseer for that ministry. And we'd like to get quarterly meetings. Caring Friends helps to take care of people with needs when they have hospitalizations and babies and all, providing meals. Fully staffed parking team. Adequate parking and seating, lobby space, 80% capacity. We want to make sure that we have enough room for everybody.
And 80% people feel crowded, they won't come back. So we have to make sure we always remember that. Under communication, we want to bring back Pep Rally Sundays. How many remember Pep Rally Sundays?
Right.
How about doing that? All right. Digital check-in for Sunday school. This is kind of the technology, you know, getting back to being on the cutting edge of technology rather than lagging behind it. Ministry highlights Sundays, year-long use of electronic billboards. There's one up in Jim Thorpe. We're looking to expand that, expand our reach. All events advertised on every platform. Again, we just want to make sure that we're not missing anything. And because there's all these platforms out there, we want to make sure that we're using them to the best of our abilities. Uniform presentation software, that means stuff like here, we're talking about that's all technical
everything
stuff.
Everything working together. Right. And then upgrade our sound baffling sound system monitors. There's just some things we need upgraded there. Upgrade our live stream cameras and offer a total health care, as Cliff called it, support for blended families, divorced families, grief support, boys, biblical outdooring mentoring, special needs, the tween age, right? Fatherhood, young women, Elevate, Gen Z. There's so many different groups of people that are struggling. It would be great to connect them. So we want to offer that total health care, that spirit, soul, body. And we have the physical team that's available too right now, the healthy living that Natalie and Bethany are doing. So,
right. And this was, these were just kind of the, some of the people like, oh, these are areas, special areas we want, that we need. I feel God's calling me to be to minister to. And that's the point. See, every person can minister somewhere because God has put something within you to get there. So there's room for you somewhere to serve. All that's left to you is to say, God, where is it? What do you want me to do? And Amen. We'll come alongside and help you, and say, and God gets the glory. People get reached with the good news. They give their hearts to Christ. They begin this journey of maturity, of transformation, and they get to experience the abundant life. That's a victory. Amen.
That's right. That's
Amen.
Right.
Okay. So when we maintain unity of purpose, when we recognize that every player is important, and we persevere through resistance, God has promised that He will deliver the victory.
Amen. Right? We win.
Right. We win. Matthew 16:18. Matthew 16:18, that Jesus said, upon this declaration that He is the Messiah, He is the one who makes it possible. He's the one, right? nothing better than Him. Upon that declaration that He is the Messiah, He said He would build His church and the very gates of hell would not prevail against it. Amen. That doesn't mean that we get to sit back and do nothing. Okay? It's our challenge. Step up. God, what are you calling me to? He strengthens, He supplies, He equips, He makes it possible. So, will you get off the sideline and get into the game? Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you all to close your eyes for a moment. It begins, that whole process of maturity begins with saying yes to Jesus. If you're here today and you have never before said yes to a relationship with Jesus and you want to, this is your opportunity. I'm going to ask you to look at me, raise your hand so I can agree with you. Are you making that choice? If I don't see it, just kind of wave at me there, throw something at me. Maybe a football. All right. Let's pray. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. I'm going to ask you to repeat this after me, if you would. Out loud. We mean it from our heart. Talk to God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Thank you that you have a plan for my life.
Thank you that you have a plan for my life.
You created it.
You created it.
Long before I took one breath.
Long before I took one breath.
You know me fully.
You know me fully.
And you love me. You gave your life for me.
Give your life for me.
So, Lord, I give my life for you. Thank you, Lord, that you help me to not just be a fan, to not just be on the sideline, but to be a player in your game for your purposes, for your victory of reaching the lost and equipping the saints. Thank you, Lord, for helping me to do it. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.